You know, it's funny. We get ready for Easter. Everybody does. And as you look forward to Easter, well, it's funny too. Okay, Easter starts early, at least in the stores. How do you know it started? It starts because of candy and the bunnies. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but as you look around, if you're trying to just find Easter in the stores, Easter's at least the risen Christ and the one we celebrate, that's not really what's being marketed. Have you noticed that? Kind of lost out to the candy and the bunny and the whole, all of that. And I get it. I mean, that's kind of what the world is about today. And in addition, you know, a lot of people are celebrating spring, but not a lot of people actually think about what it's really about Jesus and about him being alive. And those worship songs we sang today were amazing. I just telling the story of his death and resurrection. And, you know, Easter's another one of those times where it can start, you know, conversations with people. And, you know, I heard some interesting conversations this last week. I couldn't help myself. I was at Walmart, and I'm not trying to overhear people. You know what I mean? Is anybody with me on this? There's some people that they don't seem to understand the inside voice, outside voice thing. And so it's not like I'm trying to listen. It's just it's impossible. If I'm reaching for something, they're right there. And as they're talking, you know, and I heard an interesting conversation. You know, one guy was talking about going to Easter. And I think they had to have been brothers because he kept saying, but you need to go. You never go. You never go. You've got to go with us this year. And then the other guy said, he goes, you realize either I'll catch on fire or the church will if I walk in that door. And I couldn't help but laugh, you know. And then they realized that I was listening, you know, and then they try to explain everything, you know. And then I shouldn't have, but I can't help it sometimes. I say, well, I'm a pastor. Yeah, you should go. You need to go to church, you know. And then it wasn't fair, and he felt ganged up on. But you know what I've noticed, though, about the whole deal? It just seems like sometimes people miss the significance of this day. They miss the significance. Because even those brothers, as they were talking, you know, and it's not like I expected them to get into some deep theological discussion or anything, but it was all about, do it for mom. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I mean, he was emphasizing the family connection, and you need to go, and you should be part of it. It's kind of a positive peer pressure thing, and that's not a bad thing. I get that. But I never heard, and it never kind of crossed into the whole significance of the day. This is a big day. This is a day that, you know, our faith as Christians rises and falls on this day. None of the rest of Christianity matters if this day doesn't matter. This day carries everything. So as we talk about it with people, I want you to just think with me through a few things. What is the significance of the resurrection? I mean, why does it matter? Why do we put it all on this day? I mean, what's the difference? What happened that makes this day bigger and better and more important than any other Christian day? I mean, Christmas is big, right? Yeah, thank you. Presents, and that's all good. But what does it mean? Why the extra emphasis? Why do we go to extra trouble? And why do we dress up and feed you pancakes? And why do we do all that? I mean, what did he actually accomplish? Why did he do it? Why did he die on the cross? What did the resurrection actually accomplish? What was the point? Here's what it was. He freed us. He freed us. It's ultimate freedom. And you may look at it and you think, well, I was never in bondage to anything. And maybe you see it that way. But the fact is, we all serve something. We all serve something. And at one level or another, we serve a lot of things. Whether it's a job and or finances or money or things, or whether it's prestige or titles or other people, we all serve something. Somewhere along the line, something is driving us. And there's times when it even comes to us and we don't even see it this way, because usually it starts off small, but ultimately all of us, even at some level, serve sin to one way or another. And it starts to control us and starts to drive us and make our decisions for us. And it starts to separate relationships, and you see it all through our lives. That's what it was all about. What it was about was him literally setting us free. In the book of John, Jesus himself said it this way. He says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And I'll bet you that some of the people in that crowd, like maybe some of you here, are sitting like, wait a minute, I'm not a slave to anything. Nothing owns me. Nobody got ties on me. Nothing makes me do anything. But Jesus is saying we are a slave to sin. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. And here's what he says. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Not just a little bit free, but truly free. And in the King James, it says you are free indeed. I like that wording too. The thing is that sin, if you're a Christian today, sin used to have power over you. Used to control your mind and what you thought about. Used to occupy your thoughts and then control some of your decisions and determine where and when and what you did. But all that has changed because Jesus died and rose again. In the book of Romans, Paul says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Man, that says it all. The fact is, he had nothing left on him. But it didn't end just with him. Look at the next verse. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Freedom. That means freedom for you. Freedom for you, for all of you. That means that because he died and broke free of all that, you can be free of all that. It's not as if you have to do it. He did the work. And then you get to reap all the benefits. You get to live his victory out with him and be free just like he's free. Here, what it does is it makes us brand new from the inside out. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I need new. I need to be refreshed and changed all over again. Because it seems like I slip back into old ways of thinking or old habits. And the fact is that he is there to make us new all over again. New is good. Is new good? New is good. Freedom is good. Some of you may be asking, well, what are we free for? Here's some things you're free for. You're free to be who God created you to be. Most of us just live a life, and most of the world, they live a life, and it's kind of them, but they have no idea what they could fully be. They have no idea what they could truly be. It's like this. I mean, there's some people who, and maybe you've run into people like this, but it's like they have talents and they're hidden talents, but they've never developed them. I mean, they could have been the person with that golden arm that could throw a line drive all the way from center field to home plate, but they never knew because they were never developed that way and they never tried it. Could be that person who has a golden voice and maybe they sing in the shower or sing once in a while, but because of opportunities and chances, or maybe they were shy and never wanted to get on stage. Kind of like that, because inside of all of us is somebody who God created us to be, that you won't even know the full extent of it unless you allow him to truly remake you and let you be free, free, completely free. The thing is, as he holds us and sin holds us back, we never really know what we could do. And what Jesus wants to do is he wants you to make you a part of something that's bigger than yourself. He wants you to be a part of even this body, this group of people here, these Christians. Again, in 1 Corinthians, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Some of you may not even realize that you have a part to play, and that probably that part that you have to contribute may not even be done because you're not here to give it, and you have an important part. You are a part of this group. Jesus looked at it, and he said, all of you are part of my body. This is my body, the body of Christ. And the church right down the hill is, and the two churches at the next exit down the street this way, and the one over the hill on Little Blue that way. And we're all part of the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play. Every one of you matter, and all of you matter in this place. Because he makes us new, and he gives us purpose that goes beyond all of that. What he does is he gives us relationship with each other that's new. I mean, you get to know people in a different way because as new creations, he puts you together and makes things even better. It's as if two can do more than one and three can do more than two and six or eight or 10 or 12 united can do even more and reach more people. But it doesn't end there. He also gives us a new relationship with himself. I have to be honest with you. I've been a Christian all of my life. And I've been working in full-time ministry over 30 years, and I still struggle with this idea. And part of it's just my own insecurities, but part of it's trying to understand God, but he literally wants a relationship with me. I don't think I'm worth that. I don't think I'm worth it at all. I mean, I'm amazed you all put up with me, and I'm amazed I have friends. But the thing, God of the universe wants to know me and care about me and sent his son to die for me so that he could have a relationship with me. I'm blown away by that. It brings me to tears some days. Some days I wake up and I think, really, God? Wow, that's amazing. It just blows my mind. But he wants that with each of us. He wants that depth of relationship with every single one of us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you have direct access to the Father. It used to be, even in Judaism, only the priests could talk to God, and people had to go through them to God. But you probably know this, at the crucifixion itself, that curtain that separated the normal people from the inner sanctum of the temple was torn from the top to bottom, symbolizing that God now had relationship directly with you, with me, with all of us. The same thing is true when on Monday, the Monday of Holy Week, Jesus went in and cleansed the temple. And a lot of people, I've been talking to a lot of people about that this week, and they were thinking they were maybe gambling in there. It had nothing to do with that. What they were doing was literally selling animals to be sacrificed in the temple. But the problem was they had set up shop where the only place where the Gentiles could be and the women could be. And Jesus cleaned all that out. You know why? He cleaned it out for you and me. Because we have access to God now. He wants a relationship with you and with me, with everybody. Is anybody with me on this, that you're just blown away by that? Anybody at all? Now, I like you guys, and I know a lot of you, and I could see him liking you. I really can. I'm just talking about me. It's amazing to me he cares about us that way. You know what else he does? He gives us vision. He gives us direction and purpose that maybe you never, ever had before. I know so many people in life, they just go with the flow, they do whatever. You ask them, what are you doing in life? And I love asking this question. I talk to people all the time, strangers, whoever, and I might ask them, how did you get into this job? What did you always want to be whatever they are? It's amazing to me how many say, no, I just got to a point I needed money and this job opened up, and I'm like, oh, how's that working out? Like, I don't know. I always wonder if I could have done something different. Here's something you need to know. Whatever it is you do, we serve a God who could give you a purpose in that that is greater than a paycheck, that is greater than you showing up at 9 to 5 or 10 to 12 or whenever you work. It's better and bigger than that. All right, we serve a God who gives you a vision and a direction that gives you purpose in everything. It's eternal purpose. It's more than just showing up and cashing a check and buying gas and groceries. It's changing people's lives day in, day out, because you have a relationship with God and you know that they need a relationship with God. It gives you ultimate purpose in your life and goals and dreams and visions far beyond all of that. In fact, I mean, another thing gives you an opportunity to volunteer in a place like this and change lives. We have a new Sunday school teacher on the other side over here of the kids. I don't want to embarrass him, so I'm not going to tell you his name, but I happened to come down the elevator like 3 weeks ago, and when the elevator opened, I don't know if you ever, some of you may not know, we have an elevator over there. I was coming down from the offices, and the way it opens, I look right down the hallway of the kids, and this teacher is standing there, and the kids are running to him, and he's like, come on. It was so cool. Here he is saying, come on, guys, come into class, and all these kids are running, yeah. You know what happened there? He found his purpose. He found a purpose beyond whatever else he was doing. I mean, and he was a Christian. He's got a job. He's got a family. It's not that. This is more than that. It's extra. He went to Sunday school in the Sunday school class that Aaron Woods teaches, and that's a great class, and he was enjoying that. But then he had an opportunity to serve, and it's changed everything. You know what is really cool? It's watching those kids be excited about going to Sunday school because of that teacher. I love that. That's what he does. Some people, they just need confidence in their life. They need to know that there's a God that loves them and cares about them. I have a good friend. He's got little girls, and he was telling me the other day, every night when he puts his girls to bed, he says, you're a princess. Don't you ever forget that. You're a child of the king. You are worth everything. You're so important. And I remember thinking, wow, people need to hear that. They need to know that somebody loves them, and cares about them. And you have somebody that you can rely on and trust in. Somebody that will take you through good times and hard times. You know, the book of Philippians, Paul wrote that book from prison. When he wrote that book, and he wrote it from prison, one of the things he says in that book that we like to hold on to, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times we apply that verse to many, many things, but I think it's important to understand what Paul was talking about at that time. He was talking about the worst of times. And he's saying, I can go through this because Christ strengthens me. And he strengthens you. And he can give you confidence for the day ahead. He can give you confidence for whatever's coming. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you feel like things are just piling up and you can't get away from it all. Maybe you feel like there's just too many things, too many people, too many problems, too many circumstances, too many bills. You don't even know where to start. We serve a God who wants to take that and shoulder that burden with you and walk with you through it. I want you to understand something. Coming to Christ doesn't mean he takes everything away. Am I right? It's not like every problem goes away. What it means is that he walks through these things with you. Not only him, but this whole body of believers that you become part of wants to shoulder those things together and live life together. You're not alone. For some people, I've talked to them, they're just so empty and spiritually dry, and they wonder, is there any ultimate meaning in life? And everything within me is crying out, yes, yes, there is. I want you to know who he is. And because he died and rose again, he lives forever, and he can live inside of you. And when Jesus was talking to that woman at the well, and she was so confused, and he was saying, can you give me a drink? And she says, "Who are you? Why are you even asking me for a drink? Men are supposed to talk to me," and on and on and on. And he says, if you only knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and the water I gave you would let you never, ever be thirsty again. And she was thinking in the human terms, and said, well, give me that water then. I'm tired of carrying this water bucket. She was missing it. But you can have that today because we serve a risen Lord who gives us that well springing up inside you every single day. And it can be new every morning. Some of you are overwhelmed and intimidated by your problems. We serve a God who's bigger than those things. He never rests. He never sleeps. He never gives up on you. He never thinks less of you. He's constantly nudging you and purposing you and giving you insight and showing you things in the Word and sending people to help you along, sometimes correct you, sometimes challenge you, but he never leaves you. Some of us are living in confusion, and we serve a God of order who wants to set things straight. Some people are so blind as if they don't see what's right in front of them. And they grasp and cling to whatever's in the world. And there's so many things in the world that promise life. They promise fulfillment. But those things end in hopelessness. I will never forget this. I'm sure this teacher had to have been a Christian. And you know, I had this teacher, Mrs. Delfo. I'll never forget her. Fifth and sixth grade. I had her for both grades. And I don't know what the context was. You know how that is. And you look back in your memory and you just got one line out of it. But I remember talking about somebody who was struggling with alcohol, and this is what she said. I will never forget it. She said, I wish they could see that doing that doesn't take away those problems. It waters them, and they grow. I remember sitting there. I was in sixth grade. I don't know if I even knew what that meant, but I never forgot it. Because so many people are blind like that, and they don't understand what they're walking in. But we serve a risen Savior who came to take every one of those problems and walk people through and out of them. He came to save. He came to heal. He came to change their lives. That's what he came to do. So what does it feel like to be free? Here's what it feels like. No guilt. No shame. None. Because when you come to Christ and ask him for forgiveness, he forgives completely. He takes it all away. And no longer do you have to feel like you have to carry that anymore because it's gone and you take it and you leave it at his feet and you walk away and he makes you new. That's what he does. And you walk around with your head held high because you're a child of the King and you're clean again. It's over. He reconciles your life. He gives you new life. He gives you purpose and confidence and direction. You know what else he does? He breaks cycles. I love this about him. I don't know how many people I've talked to who feel like they're trapped because of something that their parents had done or their family did or something that they've done in the past, and they can't help it because they repeat it over and over and over. I remember distinctly years and years ago, I was driving a van load of kids, and It's comical sometimes because they don't realize they're all faced toward me. I mean, it's the back of my head, but I don't have any hair to interrupt that sound. I mean, I'm hearing everything. And I'm driving, and I hear this one kid say, "I'm never going to be a dad." And I'm thinking, what? He's like, "I don't want to be a dad because I would never want to do to a kid what my dad did to me." He left, and he went on, and horrible story. And then another kid said, "Me either. I'm not going to be a dad. There's no way." Then a girl said, "Yeah, I'm not going to be a mom either." I pulled that van over, and I turned those lights on, and I said, "What are you guys talking about? What do you mean you're not going to be?" And they were all serious as a heart attack, broken, and just said, it hurts. I don't want to do that to anybody." I said, "Well, who says you have to? You guys have Jesus. Your life is different today. You're different. You can break the cycle, and you can be the first one to do it right. You can do that in your own life. So what if you've stumbled and fallen? We serve a God who picks us up and changes things over and over and over. That's what he does. You know what I love about him? His resurrection proves that everything he said was true. When he said that you were going to be free, you're going to be free. When he said, so the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be free. You're different now. All of that changes, and it changes forever. I love that about him. You're free to live a new life, free to do it all over again, free to live it different than it was in the past. No one has to be stuck anymore because you are free. That's how he is. You're free for other things too. You know what? One thing I love, you're free to actually have true unity with believers in Christ like this. I know that sounds weird to even bring up in this, but I bring it up because so many of us live in isolation and live in conflict. And maybe you know somebody like this. I've had friends like this that just seem like they were only thriving if they were in conflict. It's like if things are upset, they're all animated and whatever. And then when things are good, they're like, "I don't know what to do with myself." That's not me. I want unity. Jesus said this. He was praying for the disciples, and he said, "I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." Isn't that interesting? Jesus was praying that those disciples would be as unified as him and God were. And then he said that that would be a witness to the entire world. And if he meant that for them, he also means that for us. He wants this group of people, this body, every body of Christ, but this body also, to be in such unity that we are an example to the whole world, that they look at us and say, "Huh, that is amazing. No conflict there. How can that be?" Because they live in unity. Because you have people. I love when people say that. Yeah, I got people. You've got people. You got people. Someone has your back. We have your back. That's what it means. Not only that, though, you get to live with him not only in unity with all these people, but you get to live in unity with Jesus forever. Forever. And what's great about it doesn't have to start later. It starts now. Starts now. And because of that, you don't have anything to fear. So much of our world is in fear all the time. And I understand it. Life is scary. And there's unknowns in the world, and that's scary. But you don't have to fear. We've had an unusual number of funerals lately. I don't know if you've noticed that. I keep track. I've noticed. Do you know what is encouraging, though? When you do a funeral for a believer, it's really cool. This verse always comes to mind. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope." Yeah, we grieve, but we grieve like people with hope. Hope, because we know what happens, because we live with him forever. And it starts now, and it continues past this life and into the next. That's what we have to hope onto and hold onto. And because he died and rose again, you have that for sure. Look at this verse. "But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip." Death could not keep him in its grip. I love that. Death had no grip on him. None. And because of that, it has no grip on you either. I'd like the worship team to make their way up as they're coming up. He has no grip on you either. Jesus even said it in John chapter 11. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" He was saying this to Martha right before he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. That's who he was saying that to. But I believe he's saying it to somebody here today too. Because a lot of people live in fear, but what I'm telling you is because of his death and resurrection, you don't have to be in fear anymore. The fact is, you have life now, and you have life forever through him. Through him. It's for you through him, and he paid for it and bought it with his death and his resurrection. It goes beyond that too. You may say, well, Pastor Dennis, how do I get that and apply all that to me? What do I have to do? It's not very hard. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's as simple, simple as that. I'm going to ask you a question today. We've talked about a lot of things that Christ has provided you through his death and resurrection. I mean, it changes everything, literally everything. But I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes for a second. The reason I do that is just to give some privacy in a room full of people. All I want you to do is to just answer this question. I'm wondering how many of you in the room, and if you would raise your hand, I'm just wondering if how many of you already have this freedom? How many feel like you have this freedom already? Raise your hand. That's exciting to see. I'm wondering this. You can put your hands down. I'm wondering how many of you feel like you might need that freedom to be renewed. You need it again. Would you raise your hand real quick? I see those hands, and I appreciate that honesty. God bless you. I'm going to ask one more important question, and this is really important. But I'm wondering if any of you are sitting here today, and maybe you're feeling like if everything that I said is true, then you need that today. You need that freedom. Maybe, I'm not saying you're the worst person in the world. Nobody's saying that. But you need that freedom. You need that forgiveness that Jesus offers. And not only that, you want to live in that freedom that we talked about. That freedom that gives you peace. That freedom that gives you security. That freedom that gives you hope for the future, not only now, but on into eternity. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, you know what? I do need that. And I want that today. Anybody here would raise your hand and say, yes, that's me today. Anybody at all? I'll just wait a minute. Anybody at all? All right, here's what we're going to do. I'd like you all to stand up with me for just a second. Worship team's going to sing a song with us. What I'd like to do is just give a moment. If you need prayer for anything at all, it could be for healing. If it could be for you to live in this freedom, for you to live in this just new life. Maybe you feel like you'd like to come down and help us pray for you for that renewal. If there's the pastors, their wives, the board wives, prayer team wives, if you would come down to the front, we just want to pray with you for a minute as the worship team leads us in this last song, and then we'll just dismiss everybody.